It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today we're going to be looking at several verses, of course, and I usually do this. We don't want to just have one or two verses. The Bible is the best commentary for itself, and I like to use verses with other verses so that the meanings become clearer. Well, in John chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." Well, you know, everywhere Jesus went, there was division. And we see in this chapter, the Jews, the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And people sought to kill Jesus here. And these Jews hated him. In verse 11 of John chapter 7, it says, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, 'Where is he?'" And that's the question today. Where is he? No man or woman, having once heard of Jesus, can any longer remain indifferent to him. That person must take some sort of interest in the Lord Jesus. And I'd like for you to consider, first of all, the ways in which the question has been asked. Where is he? In our present chapter, John 7, it was asked in hate, ferociously desiring to slay him and overthrow his cause. As we think back, we think of Herod. Herod was this sort of person who wanted to kill Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, it says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.'" Herod heard these things. In verse 3 of Matthew chapter 2, it says he was troubled. And later on, the Bible goes ahead and tells us in that chapter about him sending out a decree. In verse 13, it says, "And when they were departed," when these wise men left, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child,'" this is speaking, of course, of Jesus, "'take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" See, Herod wanted to know where Jesus was so he could kill him. He hated him because someone had dared say that he was a king. And then we see those people who asked the question, "Where is he?" Infidelity, sneeringly denying the existence of our Lord, taunting the followers of Christ even today because his cause does not make any progress to them. It doesn't make any sense to them, those people who are against the things of God. In these people's minds, nothing is happening according to what is said is going to happen. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "And these people are tauntingly saying these things and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.'" Well, there are those people today who say, "You Christians, you said that he's coming back. Well, where is he? How come we haven't seen him?" Well, they haven't seen him because they've never trusted him as Savior, first of all. And prayerfully and hopefully, if you're one of those people today, you will ask him to come into your heart. You will be those and that person who is fearful, sadly, not doubting his presence, not doubting his power, his prevalence, not just simply having a general existence of just floating along, but you will not be that individual who says, he's promised so many things, and you Christians, you've said he's promised these things. Well, where are they? Where is he? Well, prayerfully, you're not one of those people who are going about taunting Christians and saying, "Where is he? Where is the promise of his coming?" You need to understand that the Bible is clear that he is coming back. When he comes back, for those who have never trusted him, he's coming back in judgment. He's not coming back as that lowly child born and placed in that manger, as we read back in Matthew chapter 2. and the other scriptures that tell of his birth. He's not coming back like that. He's coming in judgment, in vengeance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We're not promised tomorrow, but now we must make a decision and we must say, where is he? Where is the Lord? In Job chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, it says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, for he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Is he hiding from you today because you hate him? Is he hiding from you today because you have an indifferent attitude? Or is he there? Is he ready to help you? And of course, the answer is yes. He wants to let you know where he is today because he is the Savior. He said, I come to seek and to save those who are lost. Well, Job chapter 23 and verse 3 says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And I pray, as I say this, I pray that you will pray that prayer today if you've never prayed that, as Job prayed, oh, that I might know where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Well, where is he? We need to look at what the saints say about this. According to the Word of God, he is at the mercy seat where we cry in secret. That's how we can go to the Lord in prayer and unburden our hearts as saved people. He's at the mercy seat. He's in the Word as we search the sacred page today, the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I believe that Word of God is the King James Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is according to 2 Timothy. He's in the furnace of trial, revealing himself, sanctifying the trial, bearing us through the trial as saved people today. He's with us. Many people are going through a trying time, especially right now. But the Lord says, I'm there with you. I'm in the fire with you. As I was with those three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, I'm walking with you today. And I want you to place your trust upon me and place your trials, your tribulation upon me. That's where I am, he says. And he's speaking to the saved person, the person who has trusted him as Lord and Savior. He's near us. He's with us. He's in us as children of God. Now I return to the question, and the question is this: where is he in your life? Is he at the bottom of your trust? Is he at the root of your joys? Is he on the throne of your heart? Is his presence magnified in your spirit, your words, and your actions? Is he before you today? Is he at the end of your journey? Many are at the end of their life today, possibly listening to this program. Is he there at the end of your journey? Is he there as a person in your life, as that person who is not at the end of your journey? But you have some days to go that you could be serving him. Is he there? Is he the conclusion towards which you are daily hastening, no matter how old you are? Are you living for the Lord? Where is he in your life? We could ask the angels where he is. They will with one voice reply that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the bosom of the Father. John chapter 1, verse 18 says this: no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You see, God has declared Jesus Christ even. The angels would say with one accord, he is in the center of glory. He's on the throne of government. Now, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 of Isaiah 9 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Where is he? Is he in the manger? No, he's not in the manger. Is he the little child in the arms of his mother? No. Is he hanging on the cross? No. Is he in the tomb? No. Well, where is he? I'll tell you where he is. He's risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20 says this, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." He is saving today and interceding. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says this, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus is alive. He's coming. He can come into your heart right now if you will simply say, "Lord, I'm willing to turn from my sin. I know I can't save myself. I want you in my heart. I want you there so I will know where you are. You're there with me. You're in my heart, Lord Jesus. And come into my heart and save me today. I want to go to heaven. I want to please you. I want to serve you today. I love you, Lord." If you'll pray that prayer today, the prayer is not going to save you. It's the heart. It's what you ask. It's what you believe. Jesus is the one who will save you. He's the one who will come into the heart, the innermost being. It's when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you realize you can't save yourself, you're saying to him, "Lord, I want you. I want you to be my Savior." If you'll pray and ask him today, he'll save you. He will come into your heart. And then when somebody says, "Where is he?" you can say, "He's living within me." If you are a Christian today and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, but possibly you're not living for him. But where is he today in your life? Is he prevalent? Do you serve him? Do you pray? Do you win souls for him? Are you serving him in any way? Well, you need to bow your head and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not serving you right now, Lord. I'm sorry. But Lord, I want to serve you. Help me. Help me, Lord, to be able to serve you more today. Help me to be able to serve you more tomorrow than I have in the past. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." The Bible tells us that we as Christians need to be serving God today. And as an unsaved person, you're not promised tomorrow. The Bible teaches us and says this, "What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Today is the day of salvation. Ask him to come into your heart and he'll save you. God loves you today and he wants you to be saved. He wants to see you in heaven. And Christian, he wants to pour his blessings out upon you as you serve him in this life, telling other people about Jesus Christ, telling him where he is, telling people where he is, helping them to understand that Jesus is waiting. He's there. He wants to save them right then, right where they are at. And he wants to save you today. If you've never trusted him, he's there. And he wants to save you. Father, thank you today for this privilege. May you bless this word as it has gone forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.